that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
Welcome to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you live this morning. It is December 30th, 2017, and we welcome you folks out there. I'll bring the other men on the line. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Zach, why don't you open us up with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. Lord, we just pray that the things that are discussed on this morning show that would be edifying and that they proclaim your word. Lord, we just pray that you guide and direct our thoughts. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray for this country. We pray for a spirit of repentance to come across this land. Lord, we just pray that your people, that their eyes be opened, that the sin be removed from their lives. And Lord, we just pray for a great work that takes place on this land. Lord, we just pray that you strengthen each and every one of this remnant. And we pray that you give them the ability to promote your word for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, it is exciting times that we're living in, and I believe that we've got Brother Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Yep, I'm here.
Good morning. You know, I mean, as you look out all over and you see these headlines on things that you know, are happening across this world. I mean, one of the headlines that I saw this morning was Berlin sets up New Year's Eve party safe zone to protect women from migrant sex attacks. And, you know, one of the things that we're facing is, you know, these immigrants, these migrants, these aliens that are invading different countries, you know, and you look and see where they're happening. It was happening in the places that, you know, had the most highest population of white people. And, you know, it's not, you don't have to look very far to see that there is a war being waged against these people. And, I mean, it's just happening. It's happening all over the place. It's happening in our cities and towns in the United States.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You wonder how much news isn't even reported. You know, there's very little news comes out anymore.
Yeah, there is. There.
You see the headlines of acid attacks in London. So London now has designated on the map. They'll tell you about them if you go there as a tourist. No-go zones. Not just one. Where these illegals have invaded and taken over parts of London. And if you're a white person, you cannot go there. You better not go there because you might not get out alive. They have acid attacks, rapes, murders, beatings. And we see them here. We've heard about them anyway. Here in this country, I know that because of things occasionally in the big city, you would hear of things like this, you know, in certain parts of maybe Miami or Detroit. But it's expanded out to where now it's places. There's places I know in Denver that the police and the fire, boy, when there's a fire, they go and get about 3 or 4 blocks away sometimes. And then it's a very slow go from there. Because of these no-go zones, and like you said, Jason, because of these mainly Muslim immigrants or invaders that have come in and have not assimilated into the American culture, but have brought their culture of filth and degradation with them and insist on practicing it right there where they're at.
Well, you go into these gas stations around here that are owned by these people, and they look at you with contempt. You can just see it right in their face. They have contempt for us. I mean, this is all over. You go down Interstate 80, it'd be pretty hard to find a white person that owns a gas station. But there's some right out here in the middle of nowhere in Michigan that I was in the other day, and there's a big whatever he is behind the cash register. You know, and you can just see the contempt right in their face.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen the same thing here.
Yeah, my dad was telling me about where he lived. He was running into the same. And I think he just wanted to use the bathroom and get a cup of coffee. And just, he said that he could just tell he could just feel the dislike that man had for my dad. And, you know, he didn't know why, but I just remember him telling that story. And, you know, seems like they would be a little happier being in a place where they're a little more free.
Yeah, a little more free and a little more benefits. And, you know, I mean, it's coming to, you know, how much cleaner is it is than where they came from, too?
Oh, night and day. Even with having just running water, how about that? Having running water pretty much 24/7, and hot water if you want it. I mean, that's more than where many of these people have come from. But you're right; they don't have a spirit of gratitude at all. It is more of a spirit of contempt and that they're owed more and more and more. But it's. You know, the alien among you goes higher and higher, and you go lower and lower. And it is a people that have been brought in upon us that hate us. It's not just these people here, and they're glad we're there spending money at their business. And that no, it's the people that are here that have contempt for us that truly hate us as a people.
Yeah, well, and it's what's sad too is you look at lately I've had to deal with a lot of paperwork, insurance paperwork, and health insurance, and it's different. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And you look at that, and it's like number one thing is automatically they're looking for you to be Hispanic, not to speak English. I was talking with the an attorney the other day, and he said, you know, he said there's every program out there for you if you're an illegal Mexican, if you're a migrant Mexican, if you're a pregnant woman. And we talked in depth about it, and he's just like, he's like, you wouldn't believe it. And I'm like, well, yeah, I believe it. And he's like, well, I understand that you do, but he's like, it's real. It's out here. It is, you know, that's where it's at. And it's, we talked about the war on men and how prevalent it is in this land, white men, Christian men, and, you know, there's other people that are starting to see it.
Amen. And we've talked about it before, but it you go back to the European nations. See, they've had for the last 25 years, what's going on now is a result of the last 25 years of their liberal policies along the same lines, Jason, where it's, you know, they say, well, we've got to help these refugees. They need help. And they had put in programs and helps and grants and made it so easy, welcomed and yet recruited these illegals to come in to these European nations, set up businesses, and you know, get downtown areas and get buildings and housing and the such. Well, guess who's got to pay for that? You know, there's no free lunch. Somebody's got to pay for that. So the working class, which in Europe for the last 1,600 years has been white. So basically there in Europe, the white working class has been taxed, and have had to pay for that. And the programs are for the poor immigrant that needs help. And so we just, you know, we just have to help them out. And that's where the, you know, the European nations, that's what one of the things, in the physical anyway, that has caused the mess that they're in, and we're following down the same rabbit hole just as fast as we can. All these programs for every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and same thing, Jason. I'm working on. I've got a couple of teenagers that would like to go get a driver's license, but having problems getting Social Security numbers. Now I have all the paperwork that their website says you need. But, oh, you have to have one of this, and then you have to have A, B, and C. When you go over there, you have A, B, and C, and because you're white, oh, well, you also need D, E, and F. We need this, and we need that, and then when you get it, they say, well, we're going to need an additional piece here. Even in their paperwork, if you are, you know, from Zimbabwe, or if you are, came to this country because you were oppressed, or something like that, one piece of paper is all you need, and they'll take care of you right there. And so it is an absolute reverse discrimination that has come upon the people here in this country, and it's very few that are actually seeing that for what it is.
Well, I mean, and just think about the fact of not paying taxes, coming here, and for a lot of these immigrants, if they file their paperwork properly, they can get 7 years where they don't have to pay income tax. They can be state tax exempt. They can pay, and basically, you can, in some states, and I don't know exactly which states it is, but in some states, you can get a card where if you go to Walmart, you don't even pay sales tax. And 7 years. I mean, just imagine how that would be for, you know, just say, you know, a young person going into the workforce at 18 years old, and they didn't have to pay taxes for 7 years. You know what that would do to our economy and to our people? But no, it's them. You know, and talk about, you know, them rising higher and higher and other people being brought down lower and lower, and we're paying the bills on top of it.
Yes. Well, what about 70 years for that kid that's just dirt?
Well, yeah, exactly. Good point.
Yeah. And I had that very thing. I have a son, he's 19 this year, turned 19 first of the year. And so last year when he turned 18, you know, he had some other things to do, but we got to have that conversation. And he's been working for, well, since he was 15. And, you know, there for a couple years, his taxes didn't matter. It didn't matter because he's there in my household and all that. But then, you know, when they start working more, well, then they start noticing the taxes they have to pay. And we used it for a good life lesson. That you see this, you made this much. Well, this is how much you had to pay in taxes.
Yeah.
And then you contrast that with this cash only or non-tax paying society on these illegals that have come in that our taxes are paying for them. So, you know, you figure, okay, we're putting in the pot and they're taking out of the pot. Well, how about if they put into the pot a little bit as well? And that doesn't even happen. And that's what you're talking about. And, it should be taught in school, those lessons.
Well,
but they're not.
If you understand the banking system, they don't even need taxes to operate. They just do site draft, whatever they want. They just create out of thin air.
Yes.
And we're definitely being oppressed, and we have nobody to blame but ourselves. You know, this all went south in around 1900 in the seminaries. You know, the Bible says not to withhold a man's wages overnight. Do you realize what we could do if we didn't pay tax? And, you know, and I'm a charitable person. I mean, you know, I ain't like I'm just spending on myself and play. I reinvest, and I know a lot of farmers are the same way. If they had their own money, this country would flourish. If you took that income tax off the white people in this country and put it on the other people, the stranger, and tax him and give him all the pork he wants, this would be a different world, because we are the only charitable race in the world. And if we go over there, there's a flood or earthquake, we're over there helping them. No one has ever come to help us, never.
No, I agree with that 100%. I remember Pastor Peters used to talk about, you know, on the withholding. He said if you had two counters and you had one person that was paying out the wages at the end of the day and then they had to go over to the tax counter and pay their taxes out, he said you'd have a revolution in this country overnight.
Yeah.
Well, if you took what people pay in this township I live in, the income tax and the insurance, you would have these streets paved, curbed and guttered, and manicured for what the money that goes down this tube, and it's just destroying us. This is all a spiritual issue. I mean, God's keeping his word with these rascals coming over and beating us up. He's going to beat us up till we repent. So, you know, I used to tell Peter, I said, one of my biggest mistakes in life was trying to get along with people I should never try to get along with. I'm not talking about the stranger. I'm talking about my twice the sons of hell that I live right next to. That are my enemy. You know, beat me down, you know. I have a reputation to be radical. I don't know if you guys know that, but you know, they think I'm crazy. Well, now someone thinks, well, maybe he ain't so crazy. You know,
right.
They haven't come forward yet, but I know they're thinking. No, we won't punish crime God's way. You know, the law is done away. The house, the judgment will start first in the house of the Lord, because that's where it's wrong. These suckers better get a rapture pretty quick, or they're going to face some stuff they ain't never seen.
Yeah, and they are not ready for it, that's for sure.
No, they're not. You know, but God is a merciful God. I always think of Ezekiel in that valley of dry bones. He says, then when this all happens, he said, then Israel will know I am once for all. I mean, these guys ain't got a clue what we're talking about.
Right. Well, and he says in there that I will let you ask me for men, and that day will come when the people will ask God for godly men again. Some people will anyway. Some people won't. Some people will be, you can tell that it's being... it's festering, defiant till the end, you know. There's a group that just will not repent, cannot repent. But I think there's even a group within our people that can repent, that need to repent, but they haven't been taught. Generations haven't been taught the need for that. Because there, and there again, when you talk about it starts in the household of God, you know, repentance, that just is not taught. It's not. It's, hey, what you do, if you think you were born whatever way you think you were, and you want to go out and do this whatever you want to do, well, you know, that's okay. And they'll find the church or a community, certainly the schools and the workforce welcomes them. But it and the military welcomes these perverts. It cannot go on. God will put up with so much, and you know, I think it's already to the point that he you know, there's an apology owed to Sodom and Gomorrah because they were destroyed for their sins, and this country has not been yet. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Well, people don't understand that the way I look at it, there is no difference between God and government. And our God, the God of the Bible, in Romans it says the government, they are ministers of the Lord. So God, the way I look at it, God is actually dictating what the government does in order to deal out punishment, to put his people into slavery, to continually rob them over and over again. And the church world today has done a real job of separating the two, and they promote that, and that's just not the way it should be. And anybody that has a basic understanding of how the foundation of what this country was built on, it was built on biblical law.
Amen.
The first three colonies that was on the North American continent between the Pilgrims, the Puritans, and Jamestown fell flat on its face multiple times. Why? Because the motivation was wrong. It was they didn't want nothing to do with promoting the word of God, setting up a system that is a righteous system. And the only way you're going to get it back is the things that's being spoken out at the pulpit. And when you are able to do that and start getting inside people's head that way, then I believe that's when you'll start seeing a change. So, you know, we got a big job on our plate. Jesus said that we could do it, so, you know, we need to get after it. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree with that, Zach. It's and I think that town of Jamestown, I think it failed several times, didn't it? I think all those colonies failed time and time and time again.
Well, they had to keep reinvesting in it because they, back over in England, investors had to keep reinvesting it to keep it going. And, you know, we all know what the plan God had for America was and is. But their motives were wrong. It's supposed to be a kingdom for God, you know.
Exactly.
That's why the other two were successful, you know, and as usual, sin weasels its way in, and then, you know, they get a bad rap and they get labeled with a bad reputation of how they actually were. But they were a very kind and generous people that feared God. And they understood when stuff was going wrong is because somebody in the camp was screwing stuff up, you know, and they dealt with it, and, you know, and they continued to promote God's kingdom.
Amen. You know, in the book From Sea to Shining Sea, an old wineskin, new wine or something like that, the story of Charles Finney. He had no religious background, and he went to the school to be a lawyer, and they kept referring to the Bible, and finally went and bought himself a Bible, and it changed his whole life. See, and this is the root of law, is the Bible. You know, without that, you're in a state of chaos. You know, you can, it's just a state of chaos until people have pure hearts and have a genuine love for God and their neighbor, things will change. You know, you're going to have to sacrifice, and in the book of Acts talks, when they lived that, they didn't know what to do with their money. It was that. You know, it was just, they had more money than they knew what to do with when that works. And it's just hard to believe. And you talk about Social Security, that's a real Social Security when you got a neighbor that loves you, you know, does anything for you. And that's what we lack, because we're covetous, we're selfish, and we're, you know, I don't think anybody I'm talking to is, but our nation is. So, but see, all their goods are failing them, you know. I watch football games. I don't watch football games. I just get stuck with it because my father-in-law does and stuff. You look at that crowd, and it's just packed with people watching football, people banging into each other, you know, multi-race banging into each other. I mean, it's really quite silly. And there they sat drinking their beer, whatever it is they do, and they're just excited about it. Now, I went to an Alan Jackson concert years ago with my kids wanted to go, so I went. And I sat there, and I looked. I said to my wife, I said, if Jesus was here, he'd be sitting out a curb all alone. And that's just the way the American people are. Until their hearts change, nothing's changing. So,
no, I agree. I was talking with my aunt this week, a couple days ago, and we were talking about talking about just basic life. And, you know, we were talking about forgiveness. She was telling me about, she goes to a Church of Christ church up in Minnesota, and we were talking about, she was telling me about the classes that they've been having. They have Wednesday night Bible study, and they've been studying on doing a 6-week study on forgiveness. And, you know, it was funny because we were talking about it, and we were talking about it, and how much, you know, how much people can benefit from this. And but at the same time, it's like when you talk to somebody and you try to tell them they need to have forgiveness or they need to forgive and this and that, it doesn't even, you know, they can't even comprehend it. It doesn't mean right. anything to them because they're not Christians. And when you're trying to apply biblical principles to somebody that is not a Christian, they look at you like you're from a different planet, and you really are.
Yeah, you know, I ran into that as well. Like Paul said, you know, trying to get along with people that you shouldn't try to get along with, you know, the people that are not Christian, that are not going to become Christian. Now, it doesn't mean we ostracize them and go burn their house down. But, you know, trying to get those types of principles across to those people, Christian principles, you're right, it's lost on them. You know, you talk about... you know, say praying for your enemies, you know, not somebody wanting to knife you, but just somebody that maybe talks bad about you or something like that. And you get these looks like, huh, what? You know, I want to egg his house. What do you mean pray for him? Kind of a thing. And it is lost. And it comes back to, I think you said it, Paul, it's a heart matter. Until the hearts change of the people, you know, no amount of economic upturn or tax relief or anything is going to really help in the long run. It's just not.
No, they're an idolater. I have a friend. He's had health problems for over a year and stuff like that. He's been to the doctor. And, I mean, they've done absolutely nothing for him. You know, I took him to a chiropractor, did just a little bit something for him. What he needs to do, he's not doing, but he's so afraid of losing insurance, so he does everything they say, and they did nothing for him. He went to emergency room. Anyway, this doctor, they told him he had cancer and all. He says, you don't have cancer, you don't have sugar. He says, they had he took 12 pounds of water off him, and he was a brand new person. Just unbelievable. But then he keeps going back to these people and keeps going back, but he's that insurance is an idol. I believe that insurance has destroyed this country. Health insurance destroys your faith, and car insurance destroys your responsibility. You know, the Amish got it figured out. They take care of each other. We should, too.
Yeah, but see, the mentality there, again, it's that heart matter. Well, if I take care of you, then you might not take care of me as well as I take care of you.
Well, you're going to die anyway. You might get used to it.
Yeah, you might get, you know, you might get a farthing more than me, you know, or a penny more, or you might get 1 inch ahead of me, and I can't have that. And that's what it is. That's why they call this the rat race.
Yeah, that's what that is. This is coming down. The world's coming apart, and that stuff ain't working no more. We're going to need each other before this is over.
Yeah.
Well, people pour so much of their money into it that that's where their heart is. And it's pretty hard to walk away when you have so much of your time invested in something. Now, I'm talking about the physical man that just thinks, you know, based on what he sees, but, you know, the Bible does say where your money is, that's where your heart will be. Well, you know, all these people's money is in the government, it's in insurance, it's in 401ks, you name it, it's in other things other than promoting the Word of God, promoting a good community, whatever it might be. But so that's where their heart is. And, you know, just like Uncle Paul said, people got to have a heart. Change your heart and got to have a repentant heart, because, you know, they have a lot of time invested into it. And, you know, it's hard to walk away. It would be hard. I mean, I would even have a hard time walking away. I don't have any health insurance or anything like that. So, you know, I pretty much take everything on the chin. And, you know, so in my mind, it's not that big a deal. But in somebody else's mind that is forking over $200 a week for their health insurance because the company is only doing, you know, 80% or 60%, because that's expensive. I've seen the price tag on it for a company. I mean, you're talking you know, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 for a company that's got 10 people to cover everybody. It's not cheap. And, you know, there's a lot of heart that goes into paying that, all just because something might happen or something's going to happen in the future. And, you know, that's what you're dealing with, I think.
Well, even beyond that, if you do have it, you go there, what do? They give you sorcery drugs, and they don't fix nothing. They just mask it and
right.
They'll give you a little more time. They fix absolutely nothing. And you can't hardly, you know, I don't know. There's something going on in this country. There's people rising up. You know, there's people out there we don't know are out there, and we can't think we got it all figured out. But when the old thing, when the faction begins to hate, it's going to be a different world. And see, that's another thing you're taught. All they're taught in church is love. You know, there's a little hate that should be going on, too. If you don't hate somebody, you don't ain't literally living right.
Well, you can't have one without
the... Right.
You can't. How do you know what one is if you don't have the other? That's one thing I never understood.
A battery don't work without two poles.
Yep.
No, and you know, talking about people's insurance, you know, they think. I've talked to several people. We've delivered our children at home, and people, you know, talking with people, it's like, oh well, you know, we do that, but we can't afford to do that because our insurance doesn't cover it. And you know, they want to talk about this, and it's okay. So it's going to dictate where your children are born. It's going to dictate how they're taken care of after they're born. And, you know, the fact of the matter is now it's not even any cheaper. I've talked to people with good insurance lately that have had to go into the hospital and have their children, or have done it thinking that it was going to be cheaper because their insurance would cover it going to a hospital. But then they have this thing called deductibles that they don't understand really good. So when it comes down to it, you know, even if you got good insurance, it can cost you $10,000-$20,000 to have a kid in a hospital.
Yeah, I know one thing. The way you spoke of doing it, Jason, it don't cost that much.
No, it doesn't.
No,
no. I mean, it's a fraction of the cost. I mean, you're talking, you know, $4,000 versus $10,000. I mean, you know, and then you get in there, and then you know, and I've talked to these people, and it's. I've talked to several of them lately, and I said, you know, the problem is, they said, well, they won't let us go home. They just keep saying we're not ready to go home yet. And I said, yeah, you got the insurance, and it's too good. And they said, well, the insurance isn't that good. I said, well, they're still getting their money, and they looked at your bank account. I guarantee you that. I said, you had to fill out a financial statement when you got in here, didn't you? And they said, yeah. And they said, well, you really don't think that it – and they looked at me like I'm from a different planet. You really don't think that it works that way, do you? And I'm like, well, I know that's the way it works. And
–
they think you're plumb nuts.
Yeah.
You know,
they don't understand the...
Go ahead, Jamal. You know what you're doing, Jason, don't you?
What?
You're talking in tongues. Tongues you're used to.
Yep. You're right.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, a language that they do not understand. And, you know, I mean, it's all around us. I mean, it's something, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I've talked to people that for a family with a good job with good benefits, and they're still forking out $1,000 a month for health insurance, you know, or more. I mean, I know there's people that are forking out a lot more, and then you talk to them, and I'm like, oh, you must have really good insurance. Well, it's not that great, you know, it's all right. You know, we're forking out $1,000 a month. I mean, you're talking $12,000 a year. And did you use it last year? No. Did you use it the year before? No. Did you use it the year before? Well, yeah, we went to the doctor, you know, for a cold. Okay, you know, so what's that cost? $100, $200. You know, you see the amount of money that people are spending. That I mean, you know, they're spending, you know, if there's over a 10-year period, you know, $120,000, $150,000, and you know, you compound that, you can buy a house on that.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the people can't buy a house, because they're paying that insurance.
They can get a loan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then how's it going to be? Zach, I think you mentioned it. You know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what's going to happen to the people's hearts when their treasure fails?
You know, who was it? Greece got the little haircut here a couple of years ago. We talked about it. You know, you wake up on a Monday morning and, oh, you only have 40% of what you had last week in the bank because it's been devalued. And that's happened in several countries. And you think, oh, well, but my money is insured, the FDIC and all this. No, that's just how it is. And so what's going to happen to people's hearts when, you know, that's what they counted on? Just like that treasure will fail them, their hearts are going to fail them. But you contrast that with having your trust in the Lord, who does not fail. You know, Zach, has the Lord ever failed you?
He's never failed me.
Paul, you're a little bit older than all of us. Has he ever failed you?
No, but I sure doubt him quite a few times.
Yeah, but he's never failed.
Never.
And Jason, I know he's never failed you.
Nope.
Yeah, and Jason, I know he's never failed you. He's never failed me.
Nope,
he doesn't fail. He doesn't fail.
He's beyond measure.
Me too. Me too. And my measure's beyond your measure, okay? I mean, it just, that's where we put our faith and our trust. And if that's where our hope is, that's where our reliance is, that's what we trust in, that's our treasure, and that's where our heart is. And when you get to that point, it's like you said, Paul, it the rest of it don't matter. It really doesn't.
It makes you wonder why you even worried about it or thought about it, you know, when you really get a hold of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you look back on things, it's like, yeah, God, you know, God's telling you, didn't I work this out? Didn't I work this out for you? You know, whether it's having the children or, you know, paying the midwife or, you know, fixing the vehicle or providing work or what, you know, when you can look back on it, he never fails his people. He never fails. That's the thing we talk about. God can do all things but lie. Well, he can do anything but fail. He does not fail. And his promises for his people are there. But there again, the people don't the people don't read it. Saw survey results, a 7-year survey from 2007 to 2014 about they surveyed church-going people and asking them, what can the church that you go to, what can they do for you? You know, what do you think is the best thing they can do for you? And overwhelmingly, it was encourage and prepare and teach us to read the Bible. Overwhelmingly. And that was a 7-year survey. And now, of course, that's people that are going to church that you know, are looking, are searching. And but I thought that was pretty neat that it showed that there are those, you mentioned it, I think, Paul, those, you know, there's people out there that we will never meet, that we don't know, that are on this right track as well, that are trusting in the Lord. But you cannot help, when you will, if you will, read the Word. And if you don't understand it, you go to godly counsel, you know.
You know, the church I went to, I went to church anyway. I got to read the Bible, and I got me a concordance. I looked up every verse on baptism, and I realized I needed to be baptized. And I found not one person that said I needed to baptize. Well, that's okay if you want to and stuff like that, but not one person, preacher or anything, have ever told me that I need to be baptized. And I, when I left the church I was in, which is you know, I said they sneezed on me when I was a baby, but I went to a Baptist church and got baptized. And then I got rebaptized up in Wisconsin. They baptized me for an outward sign for an inward grace. Well, Pastor Peter baptized me for the remission of sin. And you talk about a euphoria that comes over you when that happens. I mean, you know, but I did not have one person that told me that I need to be baptized. And you listen to all the religious stations, you'll never hear them talk about baptism. As far as I'm concerned, the religious stations are owned by the devil.
You're in the church. Nowadays, for the most part, it's like if you read a book. I'll give you an example. I read this book, and it's called Unbroken, and it's about this guy back in World War II. Well, they made a movie about it, and I went and seen that movie about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later. And I remember that book, and there were certain things in that book that was just unbelievable. It's based on a true story. But when I went and watched the movie, I went with my little brother, and he's like, what did you think of the movie? Because he had read the book. And I said, did they even read the book? Because the book was so much better than what the movie portrayed to actually what happened. And that's like going to church today. I mean, you just simply don't get the whole story. And, you know, when you go through the whole Bible, you have your head wrapped around exactly what's going on if you do it God's way. You know, you got to get rid of all the stuff that you learn going through whatever church, you know, and just get it on a one-on-one basis with God. And, you know, read the book yourself, quit going to the movies, and then, you know, then you can start holding preacher's foot to the fire.
You know, that you talk about that. I read a book, The Man Who Talks on Horses by Monty Roberts. You all should read that because that's about people also. But they made a movie of it. It was nothing like the book. I mean, this guy could be on a wild horse's back in 30 minutes, and the key was he got in that horse's head real by rejection. You know, and I think the church needs to know that, you know, drive some of these snakes out of the church and get rid of them because they're nothing but poison. But my point is, that movie was nothing like the book. It actually destroyed the book. So I know exactly what you're talking about, Zach.
I agree 100%. The movie didn't do what actually happened justice. Not a bit.
But see, then, if you had a person go watch it, they know all about it. I watched the movie, but they didn't watch nothing.
Right.
Because Hollywood has a just way of destroying everything they touch.
Kind of like the churches in the Bible. I mean, you know, the churches don't portray what's in the Bible, and if a person got down and actually sat down and read the book, they'd know the real story.
Right.
I was watching Richard Kelly Hoskins. I don't know if it was one that come out on the ministry. I don't know if it was that or I watched it on YouTube. But, you know, he was talking about in Europe how they were kept trying to keep the Bible hidden, because every time the Bible got in the hands of people and people were smuggling it to the general public, they kept having wars because the general public then understood what exactly was going on with the government and the religion that they were promoting. So it basically what it boils down to, if you're a quote-unquote Christian, you're not reading the book, or you're applying certain things that somebody said to the book that shouldn't be. And,
people read the book. I know people that read the book, and I think Pastor Peter said this originally. He says people know the Bible, they don't understand the Bible, and that's the whole difference right there. Because there are people that read the Bible that just don't understand it. It was Greek to me, but once you know who the players are, then you can start understanding prophecy and all kinds of stuff. You ask every one of them, you know, who's God chosen people or Jews? You tell them, I told this one guy probably 5 or 6, I don't know, lots of times, and I said the other day, well, who's God chosen people? The Jews. I said, did you ever hear me when I tell you? You know, but they just, it's ingrained in them. That's who it is. You know, when you find out who you are, you're a different person.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I read Genesis 17, and I never picked up on it until, Uncle Paul, you brought me that starter packet, and I read The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And, you know, that was a game changer right there, because there was a flesh covenant and a multitude of nations. Well, that's a game changer. And, you know, because people have a tendency to carry on what they've, like you said, been ingrained in their head, and they won't even see it. And, you know, that's why I go back again. It's our job to point that kind of stuff out and plant that seed and let it grow and, you know, see what happens with it.
You know, I think that brings us Acts 2:38. You don't get it until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then you can start getting it. And that's what I think where we're missing with this whole thing. They have to be converted. You know, that little card they come up, they say, I don't know what sin is, and they need about baptism, remission of sin.
Yes.
And that's more important than the whole Israel story in the beginning. but if you want to understand it, then you need to know that too. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, everybody knows they got a problem with God. They it's just in them. They just know it, you know. But the thing, the church has said, oh, everybody gets to have their own way, and they just stand on that, you know, and they don't look no further. But everybody knows there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's easier to not face it and to, like you said earlier, you know, watch your football game, drink your beer, go to your concerts, you know, go ahead and buy now and pay it on the installment plan, and instead of facing up, being a man or a woman of God, and changing, because that's what repentance is changing from that sinful nature that all are born with, to, you know, that new creation, that new creature.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and that pastor in that church is telling them, oh, well, everybody finds their own way to God. You know, he's not going to be with them in that judgment day. He's just not. It's just going to be them and God. And you know, that excuse is not going to work. You know, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't we heal in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't we build great big buildings that said Church of Jesus on it? Didn't we do all that stuff in your name? And he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. You were wrong. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Oh, law, law, Lord, that they told us the law was done away with. Well, it doesn't matter. Depart from me. And, you know, I don't want to hear those words. I'm sorry, because I've read in the Word. I never had a preacher other than Pastor Peters tell me those words. But that's, you know, that's what the churches need to preach. You know, you want Jesus to say, depart from me? Then don't practice lawlessness. Oh, but that law was nailed to the cross, right? Well, let's go there. And, you know, and just something as simple as that, from reading your Word. But you try to talk to people about that. Oh, the law's done away with. Law was nailed to the cross. No. But because the people are brainwashed, they have that spirit about them that they don't want to do what they're supposed to do.
It goes right back to what we were talking about earlier about the insurance, the medical insurance, the car insurance. Because all they're doing, they think they're buying an insurance plan. Because they don't have their head wrapped around, you know, a godly land, a godly community. They're just buying a fire insurance plan, so they think, for their spirit or their soul. And it's the same mentality, whether it's going to church or whether you're going down to the insurance office. It's the same mentality. And we really need to get away from it.
Well, yeah, Deuteronomy 28 was a huge book in my life. When you start reading all the curses, man, they're all on us. That proves the law is still in effect. I mean, our divorce rate, our sickness and everything, our financial ruin, it's all there. You know, and if you don't believe that, I don't know what I can do for you.
Yeah, if you can't read the verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28 to the end, the curses, and see that very thing written several thousand years ago of what would happen to God's chosen people that he made the covenant with if they did not obey his word, and see that those very things, every single one of them, are happening to us today in this new JERUSALEM, then you're right, Paul. There's no hope for you. if you can't see that. I mean, it's right there. The handwriting is on the wall. Believe it or not, see it or not, doesn't matter. It's there. It's there, and it's truth.
And recently about the Rife microscope, the guy that did that, he could actually watch bacteria die under, it was 17,000 times stronger than an electron microscope. And what the deal was, he could watch live bacteria and what they were doing, and he looked at that microscope for 48 hours straight to see it. But he could change the frequency and kill cancer.
Yep.
And I told Zach about this, and it's profound. But, you know, you wonder why that never took off, and I'll tell you why it didn't take off. That's one of God's tools to destroy his people. He says, I delight in destroying my people. They will not keep their commandments. You know, and right in the book, there's two things that feed cancer most. It's pork and mushrooms. And he watched this under. He was not religious or anything, but he was a scientist, and he could actually watch it happen. And those two, and orchids were the three things that fed the cancer, whatever it is that does it. He could watch that under a microscope, and he could change the frequency and kill it, watch it die, explode. See, it food, you know, frequency, that's a freaky little situation, but, you know, everything has, resonates on a frequency. Calcium has its own frequency, boron, everything has its own frequency. Well, you can alter that frequency and do it, but the reason God never let this thing fly is because that is one of his tools to destroy his people. You take a bonehead people like most people I know, and even myself a little bit, you know, well, I just take the frequency, kill that, and eat my pork, or, you know, eat my mushrooms, whatever it is I like to do. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
See, I think that's what the Tower of Babel, you know, you wonder what that really was. I think, you know, some of the technology that's coming out, I think we might be building another Tower of Babel, and that might need to be destroyed.
Yeah, you talk about the curses. One of the things that I saw this week is, you know, it's curses, it's warfare, and sometimes it's hard, you know, to decipher what exactly is going on. But, you know, this was Beijing, China. Beijing denies playing a significant role in the feeding of the ongoing opiate crisis that has killed tens of thousands of Americans, repudiating the U.S. assertion that China is the top source of the synthetic opiate fentanyl. And, you know, it talks about, basically, they came out and they said, yeah, we're shipping it over there. We're sending it over there. We don't know if we're shipping over 20% or if we're shipping over 80% of it. But that's where it's coming from. And they say, well, it's not your problem, you know, and it's not our problem. You know, we're supplying the drugs, yeah. But, you know, it's your drug policies that are making it where people are overdosing on it. It's your lack of illegal drug abuse education. It's, you know, it's your having other drugs that should be legalized. And, you know, in one way, they're right. But, you know, you talk about a warfare that is running rapid in this land. And, you know, I mean, that's one of them. I mean, what it boils down to, it's a curse that fits right into the Deuteronomy. And it's happening. And, you know, sometimes you wonder if that's just, you know, is that God weeding out people, too? Is it bringing them down? You know, I don't know. You know, if we had a God, you know, like in this last message that we had last Sunday, if we had a God that we could understand, then that would put us above God. We don't have a God that we can understand. And we don't know all his ways.
Amen.
Nope. He gives us different pieces that make me excited.
You know, this homeless in L.A., you know, people, you know, the things that are going on out there. One of the news articles I posted up onto the Newswire was homeless in La Los Angeles. And, you know, talked about just what the videos of people shot when they went downtown, you know, Pedro Street on Christmas Day. I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people without houses, without places to live. I mean, you're talking about a small city that's, you know, in the middle of town that's homeless town. You know, trash just piled up on the streets. They can't keep it clean. They can't keep it. It's drug infested. It is infectious disease infected. It's sexually transmitted disease infected. I mean, it's a cesspool. Talk about a cesspool. It's just disgusting.
It is.
And that's where a lot of people have been brought down. Yeah, exactly.
It really is. It really is. The sword without, the sword outside and the terror within will take you out. You know, your children will be taken from you, and that's just what it is. And that opioid crisis, 60,000 people a year kill themselves or die from these, just the opioids. It's insanity. It really is.
Is that just in the United States?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. See, it's not reported. You know, it's not reported, those numbers, like that. But that's about what it is. And it has tripled, like in the 2016 was like triple what 2012 was. It just exploded. It truly has. It's crazy.
Well, you know, I got a friend. He gets his religion from the Pope and his spear from Pabst, you know. And I talked to a chiropractor a while back, too, and he says 90% of the women that come in here are on an antidepressant. See, that depression is from God. Now, you can turn to the pill, or you can confess your sins and repent, you know. And it's our nature to try everything but God, you know.
Have you ever seen a person on antidepressants that wasn't depressed, though?
Say what?
You ever seen somebody that's on antidepressants that wasn't depressed? I mean, I've never seen one work. Everybody that I've ever met that's on an antidepressant is depressed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
It don't fix nothing.
All right, we're out of time, guys. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning. Folks, we thank you for tuning in. We are out of time.
Romans 13 can be hard for Christians to understand. What should be our relationship with the government? When do authorities step outside their lawfully appointed powers? Where should Christians draw the line? In authority, resistance, or obedience, Pastor Peter J. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting a politically incorrect message you truly can't get anywhere else. SFAWBN features music shows, health shows, science programs, roundtable discussions, as well as messages by the late Pastor Peter J. Peters. To see our full program schedule, visit SFAWBN's website at SFAWBN.com. That's SFAWBN.com.
Coming up next, another timeless and life-changing truth from Pastor Peter's Radio Ranch. This listener-sponsored Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network posts its schedule of speakers, programs, and titles at SFAWBN.com. Visit the website SFAWBN.com and review the daily schedule of speakers, programs, and titles. You can help Pastor Peters to keep broadcasting on this network, heard worldwide on satellite, radio, internet, and shortwave, by praying for him and sending support to him at Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. You can also go to his website, scripturesforamerica.org.